produced by Jeffrey Chrysalis, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. This is Yes Music Podcast, episode 420. Tales from Photographic Oceans and from Cruising to the Edge with John Kirkman.
Hi, this is Alan White from Yes, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 420 of the Yes Music Podcast, Two Fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host Mark Anthony Kay will be along in a little bit. You can always get involved, and please do, with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. This week, Mark and I caught up with Yes author and friend of the band, John Kirkman, who told us about his new Yes live photography book, as well as the next Cruise to the Edge, which he's co-hosting. The book is called Tales from Photographic Oceans, and it promises to be an amazing publication, one which is limited to only 300 copies as well. On Facebook this week, the aforementioned John Kirkman posted the news that Steve Howe is to publish an autobiography in April called All My Yesterdays. John has read an advance copy, he tells us, and he says it's brilliant. I can't wait for that one to appear. Jay Kranz commented on Mark's post about our Trevor Horn episode last week. He said, "Enjoyed this show. I am also a rather large Dollar fan, making that leap due to the Horn connection. I'm rather surprised, though, that you did not know that Trevor Horn was only involved with the four songs he co-wrote. Teresa Bazaar produced the remainder, and she said that she learned a lot from Trevor on the first four songs and tried to emulate him, which certainly speaks to her abilities as a producer, that she rose to the level of less interested Trevor Horn in your eyes." Jay wasn't the only one to point this out, and it makes a lot of sense, so thanks to Jay and others for that. Dave Watkinson was at the Downs Braid Association show at Trading Boundaries, and it looks like it was a great event, and Billy Sherwood posted a quick clip of him practicing Sound Chaser. As you'd expect, it sounds excellent. Mark added the other Steve Howe news, which is that he also has a new solo album out soon, as well as the book. It's called Love Is, and features, fairly remarkably, John Davison on bass guitar and harmony vocals. Steve sings the lead vocals on some songs, and other tracks are instrumental. Recent YMP interviewee Dylan Howe plays drums, so that will certainly be one to watch. Daniel Crone reviews A New Way of Life this week by Mabel Greer's Toy Shop. His overall view is that it's, and I quote, "a mixed bag for sure, but not bad." I shared John Kirkman's post about his forthcoming photo book, obviously more on that in a moment or two, and you might have heard us speaking to Alan White a couple of weeks ago about his friend Reek Havoc. Keith Hoisington spotted Reek's post about sampling Alan's Crotals for the forthcoming tour. Interesting to see how that will be used. In the visitor posts, Mike O'Connor posted a funny photo of Billy Sherwood, complete with a humorous caption, and Jeffrey Mason found an LA Times article on the fire at that acetate factory Mark and I discussed last week, I think. Adrian Bell's latest progressive alternative show contains both the Cross and Banks album Crossover and an oldie from John and Vangelis. And Doug Curran wishes the Yes album a happy 49th birthday with a photo of one of his signed copies. Over on Twitter, there was, as always, too much to mention, but a few amongst the interesting tweets included lots of archive press clippings from Chris Edwards, Burning Shed getting into trouble with various fans for calling Steve Howe's autobiography the first ever by a member of Yes, and Stampy putting us right on the production credits for the Dollar album, as mentioned above. Mark Lang sent me a video of Jeff Downs at Trading Boundaries trying to get the audience to remember the words to Video Killed the Radio Star, and thank you to those who commented on last week's episode, Jamie McQuinn and Miguel Falcao. Of course, as usual, thank you very much to everyone who got in touch in any way this week.
Welcome to the Yes Music Podcast with Kevin Mulrine and Mark Anthony Kay.
Hey It's great to be able to welcome back John Kirkman to the show this week. And a bit later on, we're going to talk about the forthcoming cruise to the Edge. But first, we need to see what John's been up to most recently. He's produced something called Tales from Photographic Oceans, Giants Under the Sun, which, according to the blurb on the back, manages to capture moments in time, those moments caught in a split second between a word or a note, or even a pause for breath. All these moments gathered together tell tales. We hope you enjoy reliving these tales from photographic oceans. So, John, welcome.
Hi, good to be with you, Kevin.
So, you're well known for your fantastic interview books, dialogue, and all those, yes, interviews you've done over the years. So why a photo book this time?
Well, the photo book actually came about a few years ago, but we had a few legal problems. Nothing to do with Yes, it was with publishers, and I had to go through that in order to get the rights back to the book and everything else. But when I was putting the initial book together and then the update called Dialogue, the first book came out in 2013, and it was called Time and a Word, the Yes Interviews. Then we had Dialogue, which was an official Yes book and had an official Roger Dean cover and design cover. The amount of photographs we were offered by fans and semi-pro photographers was just incredible. And these photographs, particularly with the fans, a lot of them have never been seen. Some of them have due to social media, obviously, yeah. But what we've managed to go through is pick out a lot that have never been seen. And the book covers the years 1969. The first picture comes from October 1969. It's a picture of Peter Banks. And it's a beautiful black and white photo, captures Peter in mid-flight. And the really interesting thing, of course, Peter was well known for the iconic Rickenbacker guitar, the white Rickenbacker with the sticker Yes on it. And latterly, he used a Gibson 335, I think it was, with Flash and other bands that he was in. But this is actually a Telecaster. And I didn't realize he'd ever played a Telecaster until I spoke to another really big fan who's actually put pictures in the book for us, a guy called Doug Curran.
Yes.
And he said, oh, no, but I spoke to Peter in the 80s, and he said, I used to play a Telecaster, but not for very long. So he kind of zapped me on that one. But it's great to have this photo. And basically, the book covers from then, right the way up until the 50th anniversary, which took place. In fact, we've got some from last year as well, so it kind of goes beyond the 50th anniversary. And obviously, the scope of the book was not big enough to cover every single gig Yes has done, as you can imagine. No. So we've kind of gone for selected images, and there's 275 images in the book. There's a lot, and as I said, there's a lot previously unseen, and you get a little bit, you get my commentary on it, and then there's an essay at the beginning, and we've got set lists from the relevant gigs, although with the first gig, we're not sure. We had to go with what Yes were playing either side of those particular days, because, of course, not every single gig set list is known.
No. Well, it sounds absolutely fascinating.
So my first question for you is, we're used to talking about Yes music and how important it is, but how important was and is the way they present themselves visually on stage?
Well, I think, personally, if you think back, and I'm going to use the music side as well, because, as you know, the current trend is to perform entire albums, and Yes themselves are going to be performing the whole of Relayer. But Yes were doing it in the early 70s before anybody else was. We've got a photograph of Chris Squire from the Rainbow concert in 1973 when they were performing the whole of Topographic Oceans. But not only that, to start it off, they did the whole of Close to the Edge, first of all. So Chris told me, he said, well, we're going to set you up with this, now have this. But the actual presentation around that time started to get very, very, if you like, visual, because Roger Dean and his brother designed all these amazing backdrops and also physical pods. And Steve Hahn told me when we were doing that, he said it was like stepping onto the moon. But they were pretty much one of the first bands to do that. I mean, there were other kind of glam bands like Alice Cooper and people like that, and David Bowie, of course. But in terms of real visualization, this was something else.
Absolutely. And it's in some ways, looking back now, it's and thanks to Spinal Tap and others, these were quite grand spectacles on stage, using as many different materials as possible. And as you say, absolutely legendary, these sets with
well,
Yes in
it's
them.
Actually funny, because Alan White said that Spinal Tap thing was me in the pod, he said, yeah. Because we were doing the gig one night and the hydraulics wouldn't work and the crab lid used to lift up and it wouldn't lift up. And he said, the road crew are trying to hammer. I can hear them hammering behind me trying to get the lid up. And I'm still playing the drums underneath. I mean, he used it with great affection, but he said at the time it was like, oh, no, you know.
That's right. So Roger and Martin Dean's designs are presumably featured in the book, but the materials that they used for those changed, didn't they, over time? Because it must have been hugely difficult to transport, and expensive to transport all those fiberglass designs. And they did the inflatable ones later on. Was that for the 35th? And they've had a long connection, and presumably lots of that featured in the book.
Well, there's not actually. It's generally the actual performance. You can see some of the production there, of course, but I know for a fact, having spoken to some of the guys who were in the road crew back in the day, said when that final tour was finished, we dumped the production. He said, we were happy to see it go, believe me. And I believe, I'm not too sure, but I remember reading a few years ago, some guy had bought it and had erected it in his back garden. So, I mean, barbecues at his house must have been an amazing event.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I'm very curious to ask you this question. What would you say is your favorite era of the band in photographic form?
In photographic form, I think probably the more recent shots. And I'll tell you, the reason is not because of any other reason, other than technically now you can really get, I mean, almost, you can almost count the hairs on your arm or Chris Squire's arm, or whatever, do you know what I mean? And yeah. So technically the photos now are amazing, and we have some great photos in there. They're a mix of fan and pro photos. Not many pro photos, but there's a few in there. And we've got some amazing photographs from the Cruise to the Edge, right the way through from 2013, up until 2019. So there's some great photos in there. But the ones I found really amazing are, to be honest with you, that for instance, the Peter Banks photo. Because it's all, yes, we're at the time. And as Peter Banks told me, we're a bloody great rock band, he said. He said things like Sweet Dreams, that was John. He said, a very Beatles influence. But he said, we all love the Beatles, but I would have loved to have turned that into an 11-minute epic, but he said we were capable of both sides of the coin. But they were, if you look at some of the shots back in the day, they were just, it was very basic drum setup. I think a double cabinet amp for Chris, a double amp and cabinet for Peter, and a Leslie cabinet and an organ for Tony. So, they did start off as a very raw rock band, and they developed. And, of course, the visual element developed as well when Roger Dean became involved. And it continues to this day with Roger as well, which is, I mean, that kind of continuity, apart from a small break between 1977 and 1980, and through the 80s when, obviously, the Yes West and 90125 and Big Generator were coming out. But when they picked up again with Roger in 1990, or if you like, the late 80s for Anderson, Bruford, Wakeman, Howe, the continuity, I like that kind of continuity, and it's served Roger very well, and it's also served Yes very well.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on from the scenery and Roger Dean's impact on that, what about the individual members' fashion sense, or perhaps lack of fashion sense through the years?
Well, if you look back to some, I mean, I've got photographs of me from 1977 and I'm wearing trousers that are so wide you could fully rig a schooner with the cloth, you know, and they're no different. We all look back and go, oh, horrendous. And yet, when I've been on the cruiser sometimes, I've seen people who are, I won't say stuck in the 70s, but kind of feel comfortable enough to walk around dressed like that. And that's cool, you know. I mean, no one should be intimidated. And of course, when you get to my age, fashion, believe me, is of the least importance. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way. And I imagine the band have some chuckles at the way, you know, they were dressing in 1977. And they were very visual, but you have to also remember in that time, for instance, in 1977, we got some photos in there by Don Rogers, who's a very, very well-known fan of Yes. And they're playing in a stadium. So in order to reach the bleachers, if you like, at the back of the stadium, you've got to wear something that gets you noticed. Hence the stripy suit for Chris and the sort of jumpsuit, the silver jumpsuit for Rick and the bright red. I don't know what John was thinking because the pants, they're kind of pantaloons, really. But, I mean, but having said that, you know, that will have stretched right the way back to the back of the stadium. And again, they were also playing arenas then. So it's an incredible, if you like, outlook on what was going on fashion-wise in terms of bands. I mean, I don't think any of them would have considered walking down the high street dressed like that. But there's one photo, there's a couple of photos in there that were taken by Doug Curran, and he said, Alan White said it was the hottest gig Yes had ever played. They were playing at a gig and the air conditioning broke down and it was inside an arena at the height of summer. And so he said, it's the hottest gig Yes have ever played. So all these things are in the book. And we put some comments in from the band as well. So yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, you mentioned that striped suit that Chris wore, and that's probably one of my favorite images of Chris back in the early 70s there. But I'm curious, you did mention Doug Curran and a couple of other people. Who contributed photos to the book? Are there any of the photos from you yourself as well?
Oh, yeah. I toured with Yes in 2016 because in 2015, as we know, Chris Squire passed away. Yeah. And the first UK tour was in 2016. And I went to the gig. And of course, I go backstage and see the guys. And Alan said, why aren't you introducing us? And I said, you don't need an introduction. Yes, don't have introductions. And and Jeff joined in. And then Steve. And I was really surprised at Steve. And they said, well, we'd like you to go out and say a few words before, you know, we play the tribute tape for Onward, which was the tribute to Chris.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, that I would love to do that. So I went out every night on the UK tour, and the big thrill for me was at the Royal Albert Hall. And I think I commented at the time, you know, I played in better rooms, not. But, you know, it was great to do that. And all I did was just basically thank the fans for being loyal and thanks for all their fond memories of Chris and the respect and also the kind comments that people have made on the various social sites. The band really appreciated it, as did Chris's family. And then they rolled the Onward presentation, which was the Rickenbacker guitar spotlighted and the music Onward, and then the band came on. That, for me, is probably one of my proudest moments. And I was asked by Steve, Alan, and Jeff to do that. So,
yeah.
And it's never happened since. And people say, well, why haven't you done it since? And I said, because it's gone. And I said it was only because it was the first UK tour and European tour after Chris had died, and the band felt that they needed somebody to go out and, if you like, set it up. I mean, I don't think they did, but I was so honoured to be asked to do it. So I've got some photos in there from Liverpool backstage at the Royal Albert Hall, sound check at the Royal Albert Hall, Liverpool Philharmonic, things like that. And believe me, Yes, don't just go in and 1-2, 1-2 check. They sometimes use that time to rehearse, and sometimes they're just rehearsing even a few bars of a song. I mean, they're very thorough. Nothing that Yes has ever done was ever thrown together, oh, let's just go and wing it. They are a very, very, very passionate band when it comes to presenting their music, and that's another thing I think that I like, and lots of other people like too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, remind us then, we've mentioned it on the show previously, but where can you get hold of the book, if there are any copies left, that is?
Yes, there are. We're still doing it. Well, we're closing the pre-sale on Monday. The reason we extended it was, having spoken to the Yes management earlier this week, they said, and very kindly, that they would help promote it via their social media websites, which is very, very kind of them. So what we've done is extend the pre-sale to midnight this coming Monday, which is, I can't remember the date now. I can't even tell you what day it is today. I'm probably still in the 70s. But it's Monday, this coming Monday.
24th.
Yeah, midnight on Monday. And if you pre-order it, you will get your name in the roll of honour in the book. And we've got quite a few already, obviously. And the book is hopefully, I mean, it's actually with the printers now for layout. And it's they started laying it out today. The book was I mean, I actually was working on it last night, and I was working on it with a journalist and photo editor Holly Quibell, and she's from Canada, and she's helped greatly on the actual book and putting the book together. But it's being laid out now by the printers, and it actually starts being printed next Wednesday. So this really is your last opportunity this coming Monday to get the order in there. Hopefully it's going to take about 3 weeks to be printed. So we're hoping to have it for the cruise, although we won't be selling it on the cruise. People can look at it on the cruise, because to cart that many books over there would just be impossible.
Yes.
But people will be able to see it. And all the band are aware of it, obviously, as are the management. They will be getting copies of it. So you'll have, there's only 300 copies worldwide. Mm. That's how limited it is.
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually, because I'll tell you a little story about the cover of the book. The photograph is a beach scene with a half-buried camera on the beach. And the photo in the lens is, yes, in 1980, I think it's at the Gourmont in Southampton. And that camera was the photograph that took those photos.
Oh, right.
So there you go. That's a nice bit of history. And the same camera took some photographs of Rick Wakeman in Canada performing only the second version of the Return to the Center of the Earth show. So there's some nice photographs in there that, like I said, those photos, for instance, have never been seen. But we thought it a nice touch to put the camera on there, the actual camera that took the photos.
That's great.
So, yeah, they can get it from johnkirkman.co.uk. That's johnkirkman.co.uk. If they want to have a look at some of the other photos, and we've done some little videos as well with slideshows.
Yeah.
And clips from the guys talking about what was going on at the time, because as you can imagine, my archive is extensive in terms of audio interviews with the band. Mm. And there's lots of them on the Facebook page, and it is the Facebook page is Tales from Photographic Oceans, so it's easy to find.
Yeah.
But they can get it from my website, johnkirkman.co.uk. But if you want your name in the book, you've got to get it pre-ordered by Monday. I mean, it'll still be for sale after that. If we've got copies then, that's not a problem. But if you want your name in the book, and I know collectors love that kind of thing, so yes. we've offered that until Monday. So midnight on Monday, UK time. So, but if you want to take it to midnight USA time, we won't, you know, we're not going to be that stringent, because we don't have to have it delivered to the for pressing or printing until Wednesday. So we'll give you till midnight. Midnight on Monday. We're anywhere in the world. There you go.
Great. Fantastic. So we've spoken to you before about Cruise to the Edge, where you were the master of ceremonies. And this year's event is coming soon. And once again, the lineup looks really fantastic. I mean, you have Marillion. And a lot of these bands on here, too, have a connection to Yes. I mean, Glass Hammer, for example, John Davison used to sing with them. You know, you have Flying Colors, in which, you know, you had the guitarist there, Steve Morris, who did a lot of the Yes tribute albums with Billy Sherwood there. And, you know, there's so many fantastic connections with these bands, and you know, Dave Kirzner as well, who has done some of these fantastic Yes tribute albums as well. Is there any band this year that you're looking forward to checking out?
I look forward to all of them, and there's some new bands. I mean, we've got quite a few bands returning, like Life Signs, and as you said, Dave Kirzner. I mean, it wouldn't be Cruise to the Edge without Dave Kirzner these days. Fernando Padamo as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, the great thing about everyone who performs on Cruise to the Edge, it is like a family. So we do have returning acts. For instance, Marillion come back every other year because they have their own fan weekends across the world in the year that they're not on Cruise to the Edge. But they're a great band, and they're lovely people too. And I've got to tell you that some people think, well, why not this band and why not this band? Well, I'm going to be really brutally honest here. Some of the bands don't want to go on a cruise. It's not that they don't want to go on Cruise to the Edge. They just don't want to go on a cruise full stop. In addition to that, we keep getting asked all the time for Camel. We would love to have Camel, but there are specific reasons, which we respect, from Andy Latimer. And I think he'd like to do it because he's very aware of it, because Tom Brislin has been on the cruises and Tom played with Andy Latimer in Camel for a while as well. So we would love to have him on there. Regarding Stephen Wilson, I'm pretty sure Stephen is not really interested in going on a ship. And I'm fine with that, because obviously Nick Beggs, who has been on the ship lots of times, both with Steve Hackett and various other people, who's a special guest. And I think I'm not sure whether he's on this cruise or whether he's on next year's cruise as a bit of, I don't know whether I should say that. Well, I've said it now. But there's lots of surprises take place on the cruise. I mean, there's lots of stuff. I know, as you can imagine, lots of things, and I have to process it in my head. What can I say and what can't I say? Because it got me into trouble, actually, on this particular podcast when I mentioned that Trevor Horn had done the vocals for Fly From Here.
Oh, yes.
And it wasn't big trouble. You know, I wasn't sent to Coventry or anywhere like that. But it was like, you shouldn't have said that. And I was, oh, sorry. But you know what? These things happen occasionally. And, you know, it is. It does happen. And so I'm very, very aware of what I can and can't say. What I can tell you is that Cruise to the Edge this year is sold out. And it's sold out the last 3 or 4 years now. And it's people sometimes leave it to the last minute and think, oh, and I'll leave it to the last minute. Oh, I can't book it. So my advice to you is, because you'll probably hear very shortly after the Cruise to the Edge finishes this year, next year's cruise, in other words, 2021. So my advice to you is, like, get in there quick, because this event is probably the prog highlight of the year. It really is an experience of a lifetime. And I know, of course, I'm involved with this. So people can say, well, you're bound to say that. But believe me, it really is. You ask anybody on any of the Facebook pages, and I don't mean the official Cruise to the Edge page, I mean the groups.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you the same thing. And we've got people who've been to all 7, or they will have been to all 7 on this one. It is. It's a great community of people. They're a great bunch of people on both sides of the footlights, if you like. And everybody has a great time. And there's lots of surprises. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is interesting. You kind of answered my other question. And basically, there's like a tradition of amazing semi-organized musical happenings. I mean, one of them that kind of jumps to mind is when John Anderson went up and performed with Mike Portnoy and those guys.
Yeah, well, he did that on the thing. Well, the thing is, Cruise to the Edge has become the de facto progressive rock cruise, really. And that's why Mike Portnoy is very much involved in our cruise, because our cruise was great. I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure you're not going to see John Anderson on any of Cruise to the Edge. But you know what? The minute you say that, something will happen. But I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. But there's so many. I mean, for the very first cruise, we had John Wetton and Steve Hackett playing together, and Chris Squire. And, you know, all those sort of things make up for great sort of performances. I mean, after Chris died in 2015, it was a late cruise that year. Mike Portnoy and a few of the other people organized the tribute to Chris Squire, and it was absolutely amazing. The opening song was Every Little Thing, which, of course, as we know, is the Beatles song that was on the very first Yes album. Then they did songs from Fish Out of Water, and all these artists were all up there, you know, singing and playing their heart out in tribute to Chris. So things like that kind of happen and take foothold, you know, when people get on the ship and they start hanging around, because like most musicians, everyone on the ship hangs out with everybody else. So,
So before people start throwing eggs at me, I have to apologize. I got that confused. The thing I was thinking about was actually there was a cruise that Mike Portnoy organized, and John Anderson did some songs with him on that cruise. I got them kind of jumbled up.
Yeah, that's right, with Transatlantic. Yeah, but I mean, again, we have so many people on the cruise. And as I said, that's why Mike is very, very heavily involved now, has been for quite some time with Cruise to the Edge. And he's a lovely guy, and he's so gung-ho for the cruise. And of course, Mike is what I call a pure musician. He lives and breathes music. And he's like many progressive rock musicians, again, like Dave Kirshner. He must have a great social secretary, because he's involved in so many different things. It's unbelievable. So their calendars must be very full. And they must be really on the ball in order to sort of fulfill all the obligations that they get involved with. But it's great. And as I said, the cruise always throws up lots of connections and lots of people who get up and do something. I mean, the last time Glass Hammer were on the cruise, John Davison got up and sang a couple of songs with them. And he got up and sang a couple of songs with Dave Kirshner and with In Continuum. And it's just a great, big, happy family.
Great stuff. So, Yes, though, are doing some warm-up concerts, as it were, before the cruise. And then, of course, we're all looking forward to the whole of Relayer, as you mentioned earlier, being played live. How significant do you think that milestone is going to be for the band?
Well, I know all the fans. I mean, please don't take this wrongly, America, because I love you and I love all the people who I meet over there. I've got some great friends. But America, you get a tour every year normally. In the UK, we have to wait every 2 years. So it's nice that we're getting it first. So there you go. I'll stop being smug now. But I really think this is a landmark show because Relayer was such a different album. I've interviewed Steve about it for a syndicated interview. And I said it was amazing, but I found it a difficult album to get into. And the big stumbling block for me was Sound Chaser. But once I got it, it really took hold. But it was, I thought, what is this? You know, it's crazy. But I mean, something like Gates of Delirium, I would say, now when I think about it now, I think, yeah, very, that's a very, very typical Yes song, if you like, almost along the lines of Close to the Edge. And of course, To Be Over, again, a longer song, but not, you know, more like the whole album, I think, really is very like Close to the Edge in terms of the layer. There's three tracks on it.
Yeah.
But I think the fans have been waiting for this for a long time. And I think the band have as well. But I mean, the band, as you probably know, on the Royal Affair tour last year, played
Indeed.
Gates of Delirium.
Yep.
And it went down an absolute storm. And they played it magnificently as well. So I think it's very, very important for them to do this. And I think the great thing is there's going to be a selection of Yes songs from the catalogue on the show as well when they do it. I don't know, the American dates haven't been announced yet, but it will be later in the year because in the interview, Steve says it's decided they're going to do it later in the year rather than the summer. But, you know, I don't think anybody's that bothered about when they do it as long as they get out there and do it. So, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a very extensive tour, I have to say. If you look at the dates for Europe and the UK, it's probably the most extensive UK and European tour the band have done for a long time. So there's a lot of interest there. And, of course, there was a lot of interest last year in the Royal Affair Tour, which was hugely successful, and to both musically for the band and also commercially as well. The band played to big audiences during that tour.
Yeah,
and ably supported as well by, obviously, John Lodge and Aisha and Carl Palmer's ELP experience, ELP legacy, as they're called.
That was a great tour. I was lucky enough to attend that one, so I was very happy to see that. So getting back to the cruise, and this is my last question for you, is we know how busy you are on the cruise, but if you were a fan attending on your own, what would be your goals for the best prog time possible?
Oh, fancy asking me that. It's hard because I must mention Roy Avin here, of course, Prog Report. He's a lovely guy, an amazing journalist and presenter, and an absolute lovely guy. I love Roy to bits. He's also co-hosting Cruise to the Edge with me and has been, because as Mike Sadler said last year when he started doing it, he said, I can't believe I'm doing this. And he said, even more, I can't believe that you used to do this on your own. But I said, yeah, but when we started, there were only 13 bands. There's 30 odd now. So it's impossible for me to be everywhere. But yeah, if I was there, what would I see on this show? Well, I'd want to see Marillion, both shows, because Marillion sometimes change the second set. And I can tell you, again, I don't know if I should tell you this, but and I'm going to, because he told me, and it was an interview. Steve Hillage is with Gong this year, which is a big coup for us. And what they're going to be doing is some Steve Hillage songs as well, as they did on the recent tour just before Christmas.
Right.
And they're going to be playing two different sets, so you need to see both. And Gong really tore the place apart the last time they were on. And this time with Steve Hillage, I expect an even bigger amount of fandom and fervor surrounding those gigs. But for me, all of them, I've got to say, Marbin are going to be another band I want to see. They were on last year and they went down an absolute storm, something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something going on. If there isn't a concert going on, then there is a Q&A session or there is something else. I mean, we had a couple of years ago, we had some guys who'd done a Rush coloring book. And that went down really well. And it's just little things like that. We've got a guy playing prog classics on the piano. And then, of course, we've got the after hours sort of thing. We've got the grid, as it's now known, where the actual passengers get together and play. And sometimes some of the musicians get up and join them. So, you kind of spoil for choice. And people are asking me now for a schedule or schedule, as they keep asking, being American. And I'm going, listen, I don't get my schedule until I get set foot on the ship.
Yes.
And what I normally do, although it won't be too bad this time because we've been on the Norwegian Pearl before, so I kind of know my way around it. I usually used to go, right, where's the venues for this? So I go and find the theatre first, which is usually at the front of the ship, then the pool stage, check that out, and then we check the other little venues out that we've got throughout the ship. And then I normally go and find out where the restaurant is. But we've also got, again, with Cruise to the Edge, we have a pre-cruise party, which this year is going to be Brand X. And that's at the amazingly named Magic City Casino. And it sounds like, you know, typical, it is actually a casino. But it's a fabulous venue. And you get some pretty big bands playing there in the music room. It's a very, very big music room. We haven't been there since 2015, so it's going to be a nice return there as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much indeed for coming to share your book and the Cruise to the Edge reminiscences, and looking forward to this year. So I hope you have an absolutely fantastic time, and hopefully we have some listeners going on the Cruise to the Edge. I'm sure we have, and they'll be able they'll be able to report back, hopefully, from the cruise itself.
I'm sure they will. And of course, we're hoping that nothing goes wrong. Last year, we had a problem with the fog in Tampa.
Oh, yes,
We couldn't get on the ship until late. And that, you know, that really shifts everything. And I can only heap praise on the technical crew, who just really did everything. They worked through the night in order to get the pool stage ready and various other venues. And I know Pendragon, who again are on the cruise this year. I introduced Pendragon at about 2:30 in the morning. But, you know, everybody waited. So yeah. What I would suggest is take a good book. Yes. Now, if you want to take some of my dialogue books, feel free. But I would also highly recommend, having just read it, Steve Howe's new autobiography. It's amazing.
Is it?
That's out in April via Omnibus Press.
Yes, yes.
So,
I've
just read it. It's incredible.
Excellent.
Well, there you go.
Okay. Well, thank you very much indeed, John, and have a great time.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks again.
Whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.
Just before we go, here's the patron update. Or at least half of it. Yes Music Podcast producers are Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier, Bill Govier and Wayne Hall. And Yes Music Podcast patrons are Mark James Lang, Martin Kelberg, Michael O'Connor, Miguel Falcao, Neil Caffrey, Paul Hales, Paul Tomei, Paul Wilson, Peter Herndon, Lobate Scarb, Rachel Hadaway, Mark Zarkol-Bags, Robert Naser, Scott Colombo, Scott Smith, Simon Barrow, Stephen Lamb, Steve Dill, Steve Perry, Steve Rode, Steve Scott, Stephen Raw, Terence Sadler, Tim Stannard, Todd Dudley, Tony Handley, Joseph Cottrell, Keith Hoisington and William Hayes. Also continued thanks, as always, to Robert and David. So thank you very much indeed to all those patrons. If you'd like to join them to keep the lights on at YMP Towers here and have access to lots of exclusive content and activities, head over to patreon.com/yesmusicpodcast or click the link on yesmusicpodcast.com. So, as I always say, that's just about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. We'll be back next week, I do hope, but in the meantime, please do keep listening and getting involved with the podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, or on Instagram. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.